Today we're going to talk about affordable access. What is going on with the startup community and small businesses, and why are they getting priced out of their markets?
Welcome to Startup Ecosystem, No Stupid Questions, where we unabashedly dive into the topics and questions that most startups and entrepreneurs are smart enough not to ask in public. Here's your host with all of the stupid questions, Joseph Hacker.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us on another episode of Startup Ecosystem, No Stupid Questions. And I'm here with Danielle. Danielle, we kind of found each other on LinkedIn, and then we ran into an event together, and then realized that we were the same people from the LinkedIn connection. So I'm super glad to have you here and super glad to have met you.
Thank you for having me.
So I fully agree that that the way that the ecosystem is designed right now, it's kind of like the salmon ladder. You have to, one, be able to even know what events are going on where. Two, there's a huge emphasis on venture capital and all these other things. Small businesses, the way to get into that is through bank funding and SBA loans, which there's thresholds and credit, and there's all these reasons why a startup or a small business can't even get off the ground. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think that these institutions and associations or organizations that support our startup community really need to put themselves in a startup position and what their mind frame is. When they go to start a business, what they're thinking is, hey, I got a product, or I got food, or maybe even a service, and other people have said they liked it. So how do I expand upon that? Well, one, I'm probably going to need a location. Well, how do they go about securing a location? Well, usually they leverage their mortgage or some type of your car, or some type of asset. But now when you do that, it's so expensive to live in our communities, that option has been stripped away from us. So now how do we get funding to start our company, or just even to secure a location so we can conduct business? Even if you do have a mortgage or something like that and you're refinancing your home to support your small business, it's not going to be enough money to get yourself off the ground and last the 2 years that are extremely volatile for these startups. And so we basically need to rethink just in general that part of it. Like, how do we provide affordable access so people can get their foot off the ground?
Now, to put this into context, can you share a little bit about your company and how you're working with kitchens and the food industry?
And the food industry, yeah. So we specialize in the food industry, but overall, Peer Brands monetizes unused space, which provides affordable access in our communities. So I will go into a church and I say, hey, your community needs your help. What are you sitting on? And they're usually sitting on empty office spaces. They're sitting on event halls where you can hold a dance or a class practice, and even a commercial kitchen. And our small business restaurateurs need a commercial kitchen to start, and they cannot afford a brick and mortar anymore. So by going into churches and reevaluating the way we're using space, we can then rethink how that space is used. So just because it might be an office, can it be a massage studio? Can the event hall, can we do a paint and sip class? And so on and so forth. So by doing that, and then the way my business model works is these small business owners only book what they need when they need it. So if you want an art class, you're just booking that 2 hours, and that's it. You're not held to any long-term contracts. You don't need a large loan. All you need to do is go find your customers, collect the money, pay for your space, and that's it. And so it's not just churches. I've been working with a lot of veterans organizations, other restaurants, basically calling on all our community leaders and saying, hey, let's rethink what space is normally used for. Just because it has a cross on the outside doesn't mean it can't become a community center. And I've been getting a lot of support from community leaders that are now willing to open up their locations so that we can provide affordable access.
And now, here's a stupid question. It seems like there's a lot of space out there. Like, you're using churches, and there's businesses that are only open part of the week or part of the day. We've got real estate. We've got businesses that are already zoned for that type of thing. But we live in a society of, like, me, mine.
Mm-hmm.
stupid question. Do we already have the resources? We're just not using them properly?
That's exactly what's going on. So we are very much heading to this virtual society. Like before, when you needed a brick and mortar, you wanted the signage so people could see you. But people are Googling you now. So you can now think outside of the box on how you conduct your business and where you can conduct your business, because they're going to find you online. So if you have an office in a church, that's fine. You know, it doesn't have to be in an office building, or it doesn't have to be in a WeWork anymore. And you can find space close to your house. So we're not using our resources properly. I have coffee shops that are open during the day, but we can then do something, a food concept there at night. You know, I've even put retail and started putting clothing brands in these restaurants and stuff like that to start monetizing their wall space and providing additional revenue streams. So we can take multiple industries and multiple products, and we could actually put it in a single place. And so that's what we need to do, is start transitioning our small businesses and our startups to realize, hey, you don't have to go the conventional route anymore. Okay, you could do it this way. So yeah, we need to use our resources more effectively. I could tell you, when I drive down a main street in Denver, yeah, we have these huge skyscrapers, but I have many small businesses that are boarded up. Why?
Yeah.
You know, did it have to come to that? And so we need to rethink how we're using our resources.
So we've seen ads for car commercials, and they always have like one or two people, maybe a family, and they're on an open highway all by themselves, adventuring across the country, off-roading or hitting the open road. We live in a culture of independence and ownership of property. It's kind of what the American dream was made of, was owning my plot of land. We are shifting towards this more community-based thing, ride shares and more kind of a sharing economy and sharing community. Stupid question, what's it gonna take to push us over the edge? Are we already headed in that direction? And what's preventing more of us from being more better community people?
So income disparity is gonna continue. Right, we're going to continue to get poorer and poorer while richer get richer. Okay, so we need some alternatives for that. And we are a very individualistic society, but fortunately, some of these companies that applied the sharing economy to certain industries have started to basically open up that idea. So when other companies are doing it, people are more receptive to applying the sharing economy. I think that when a business starts, and I don't know how many businesses I come across that sign up, the main thing they say is, hey, we can be creative, we just want to keep our sign on our door. And so when people sign up on my services, it's usually because they need help. And so they're looking for other alternatives, and that's what we go out and source, is other alternatives to help drive different revenue streams. I think that at some point that is going to break. So we're already starting to see a culture in our youth or our centennials where, you know, it is very individualistic. They don't want to go to the same store and get the same clothing brand that this person does. So they really very much do want to support small businesses, but we don't have any outlets for them because they've been priced out. And so, how do we fix that?
So the pricing out's fairly interesting. For a small business to get started, and I've got this philosophy that 100% of us were taught to be employees. Mm-hmm. So first of all, just even pursuing your own business, that you're going against the odds on that one. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's a lot of support for it. To get a degree in, you know, advanced business, or your MBA in business, that's expensive. That's hard. How do people get the education? Where do they get the knowledge? How do they start in a space that, like, really, you've got to leverage your life to be able to see this dream through?
It's practically impossible. So I did that route, got my MBA. I studied entrepreneurship, and the information that you learn in school even in school isn't teaching you application of that information. So yeah, you have the information, but going out and doing it is a whole nother thing. Most small businesses that start up, like I said, this is our product, we want to sell it, but they don't have marketing experience on how you would, you know, price your product and enter your market and understand your segment. They don't know how to build an ad and how to leverage social media algorithms to get that out there. They probably don't specialize in financing or accounting or any of that. And so there's not really any educational tools out there. Some organizations have some small programs, but you're just touching on the very basics of business. So they might run a SWOT analysis, but if you think they're running a SWOT analysis where your external threat is a pandemic and they're having you evaluate all your supply chains in whatever industry, no, they're not creating a SWOT analysis like that. They're not running telos assessments or capability assessments. They're just not trained to do that. And so we do need, I know the University of Colorado has an entrepreneur certificate that would help. But even with that certificate, once again, you're not trained to apply that knowledge. I have a master's in marketing, and not once did I ever have to create an ad and distribute it in social media and learn how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's our educational system. There's a huge gap from learning to applying. There's not enough small business resources that give you that support. They'll do a quick teach about it, but there's nothing in between after that that really supports you. And so
I have been saying this a lot lately. So the path to entrepreneurship and business ownership, you've got venture capital and you've got like this big giant carrot, but it's kind of like having a university program without a public school. We do not educate our business owners. And back to the stupid question concept, how do we fix that then? And is it just on us?
Yes, it is on us. I do strongly believe that whatever systems and programs aren't working. So if our failure rate as a nation for small businesses, I think it's up to 90-95% right now. Why are we still doing the same thing? All right, if that's our output, don't you think we need to reanalyze and rethink that? I was just discussing with you the definition of a small business is 499 employees or less. I help startups every day, and none of them are in, we're close to having that many employees. So do we just start with changing that definition in generals? That way we can get more accurate statistics at what part of the line is causing them to fail, because it's not the small businesses. They work very hard, and they do everything they can, you know, and the systems are designed to work against them.
I would even say, so let's say I want to start my business, I've got this idea, so I leverage everything. It'll take months to even years to, you know, get the permits and get everything open. I have my grand opening, and then code enforcement swings by. And the way that we learn is through fines, penalties, and lawsuits. Mm-hmm. That's one of those costs that you don't plan for as a business owner. It's like they actually don't want you to succeed.
That's exactly what it feels like when you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to start and you're going through all these various different systems. They are truly designed not to help you succeed, and that's why we need to rethink the startup ecosystem. So there's a couple things. Yes, there's VC funding. We could dive into SBA loans. You normally have to have capital equipment, be buying capital or commercial property, but we're in a predominant service industry. So what about them? Like, if that's the way our nation's going, is to the service industry, well, I don't have any capital expenditures or fixtures or whatever to even get a small business loan. And usually they won't lend to you after 2 years. Well, we fell in the first 2 years, so how does that work? here's a couple things that people don't understand. Not every small business wants to go VC and change the world. I have a small business restaurateur. They have a kiosk on the 16th Street Mall. They actually source their products from Hawaii, and so she got a part-time job working at Delta to cover the airfare so that they could fly their products to us.
I know them, the Aloha Grill.
Yep. There you go. Yep. And so how amazing is that, that a small business, because I guarantee a corporate chain, food chain, is not flying out to Hawaii to bring us good raw ingredients and giving us that taste of culture. But they're satisfied with just serving us Hawaiian food and doing that. So they don't want to go the VC route. They don't want to take on large capital. They're just happy living their life serving us Hawaiian food.
Well, and because I know them, I also know that they have a backstory and they have a passion for homeless. And so at the end of the night, they take their excess food and they actually package it up, cook it, package it up, and give it to the homeless. And ultimately, they would like to grow their business to be able to serve the community better. And I'm sorry, but that is what a lot of small businesses have a heart for. Mm-hmm. Walmart gives, and they give in large volumes of donations and money and commitments, but not the same way that a small business impacts their local community. So stupid question. How do we fix it? And I think you're on to an aspect of it in community sharing.
Yeah.
But is that the solution, and how do we fix this?
That's just step one, is affordable access, right? That's step one that they need, is affordable access. We wouldn't take away the fact that, oh, we need this large amount of capital to start a business. And that's why my system's very much designed pay as you go when you need it. And some will grow and some are like, hey man, this is harder than what I think. And that's the problem, is when you're starting a business and this is all I know, but you're learning marketing, finance, this and that, and you're definitely not gonna take any type of external threats or variables that can happen to you. Maybe a family dies, maybe, you know, this and that, that can completely shut you down because you're in your first 2 years. They need some type of cushion so that they can learn their own business and try new things and say, okay, this finally worked. But that might have took them 3 attempts, you know, before they discovered this, and then they can expand upon. But ultimately, sometimes when they go in, you know, they try it and they're like, whoa, this isn't what I thought. And they need to be able to just shut down and not lose their house because of it, you know? So affordable access is step one. Step two is they need gigs. They need business. And so how do we drive business to them? Big festivals like this help when you're featuring small businesses, but that's like, you know, every 420 this year, that what they get. So how do we drive business? So with my systems, because I'm dabbling in pretty much every industry, if someone books event space, I'm then offering up my caterer on my platform. Here's a gig, you know what I mean? And so our system should be really much cyclical if you really want to perpetuate your local economies and support your small businesses. To kind of backtrack on the Hawaiian aloha,
yeah.
I did get them in a church, and that church feeds homeless. So now the money that they're, you know, they got an affordable kitchen, and that helps the pastor pay for more homeless meals, but now they're also, you know, donating that. So we were able to expand that program, and that's just by community sharing. Yeah. And the point is, like what I said before, we can't rely on any of these organizations. We need to rely on ourselves. It's just time that we realize, hey, this isn't working, and all we have is each other, so we need to, as with each other, figure this out.
I mean, this is an offshoot, but a few years ago, the sponsors of my show, they had me out at their beach house, and for no good reason, they asked me, hey, Joe, how do we change the world? And I was surprised that I answered so quickly, but my answer was go outside and make friends with your neighbors. Mm-hmm. If we connected within our community, mm-hmm. then we would know our community, we would know the problems our community has, and we could pull our resources, and we could make our community better. And that just starts with getting to know your neighbor.
It is.
So because we have met and we talked off air, you started this way too, though. You bootstrapped. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you mind me sharing, but you were, I think, a single mom at the time.
Single mom.
And so not only are you saying these things, You built your business doing these things. Mm-hmm. And now how many locations is Pure Brands?
So we're at over 50 locations. I just flew into Arizona and grabbed 15 more because we're going to start expanding our reach, basically, and try and scale to as many communities as we possibly can. So as we're expanding geographically, and that's just the monetization of space, I then turn around and say, okay, now I have space, what can we do with it? I'll give you an example. Every single farmer's market sold out. And last November, I had an uptick of pop-up restaurants. And I go, why is this? Oh, the farmer's markets are closed. It's seasonal, right? It snows in the winter. We don't have farmer's markets anymore. And I'm sitting there like, what? I'm sitting on a bunch of event halls that are empty. Why aren't we bringing that inside? And to me, it boggled my mind. It's the year 2022, and we don't have year-round farmer's markets? So we just created over 500 different units for these small businesses to carry on their practices through the winter. So then I basically just start making programs like that. Once again, I said step two is to get them gigs. That's what those farmers markets do. So we very much start then monetizing the space. We created a community center, and then we start doing events to bring businesses to those businesses in those centers. And so we'll expand that program, and there's a couple more on the works.
I love it. Community, years ago, Gary Vee said, the people that organize communities are the ones that are going to have the most impact. Mm-hmm. So organizing those communities, forget the impact, the big, like, you know, I don't like the word scale. I think oftentimes a lot of startups and small businesses, they want to scale right away. And I think that's a fallacy. Mm-hmm. Niche down. Yeah, do something local. Repeat it. And then if it can scale, let it scale.
Right.
Also, I'm not big on super funding. Most businesses won't get that venture capital. Mm-hmm. Get resourceful. That's why so many businesses, when they start out in a downturn, turn out to be really successful over time because you learn to do without.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were ruler for a day, what would you change in the ecosystem or in the country to see your vision through?
So
it's a big one. It's a big stupid question.
No, it's okay. So if I was going to change anything, I think I want more transparency on where our money is going that supports small businesses and stuff. From my personal experience, just with the pandemic, trying to get funding with any type of PP, this and that. They closed out my application before I even finished it, and I couldn't log back in, and they said they'd be in touch every 3 days, and they just re-triggered the email. No one talked to me. So every 3 days for 6 months, I couldn't get help, you know? So it's like, I think conversations like this are going to help, but if I could change anything, I want affordable access. I want to saturate the market with small businesses and that's it. I do not want to live in a world of corporate chains. I just flew out to Arizona, like I just said, and then you see the same thing. It's like, I want to experience the culture, like the people, you know, I don't want to go to the same store. So my goal just in general is to provide affordable access. That's step one.
Nice. Now, how can people find out more about you and your business?
So you could just Google Pure Brands, or it's purebrands.com. And either way, you're going to find a lot of articles written about, or you'll find my website, and there's a ton of information on there. You could go to the How It Works pages, and it's going to explain whether you're a church, how it works, whether you're this type of person, how it works. And that's pretty much it. I'm on all social media channels. It's usually at Pure Brands. So you can reach out that way. You can call me at 720-805-2225.
Well, I love the community-based approach. You're absolutely right. There are resources. There's locations. There's people that are doing that and have the equipment, so you don't need to go buy all that. I think we are headed towards a societal way of thinking. We've got some ways to go, mm-hmm. But it's efforts like Pure Brands that will help open that up. And I hope we get to change that American solo, do it by myself type of ownership and become more community thinking.
You know, I can tell you, going out, and I've just worked with so many different backgrounds of people and so many different cultures, and even from different religious beliefs to different political beliefs, and every single one of my customers was willing to sign on and work with me because overall, they care more about the community. So don't think we're that divided. Don't think you can't knock on a neighbor's door. I live in a predominantly Republican neighborhood. I probably swing more liberal, but I can knock on the door and get a cup of sugar. You know, like we're not that divided as some think, and I think we just really need to boil down that point is every single one of us do care about each other. And it's important to recognize that, but yeah, we need to get out of our shell and start talking to each other because that's how you make change.
So I'm gonna go with another stupid question here. What prevents people from doing that? What prevents, because I would be inclined to say that a lot of people are not comfortable knocking on their neighbor's door and asking for a cup of sugar. And that was a very American thing in the 1940s and 1950s was, yeah, getting out, mowing the lawn. And, you know, there was even, what was that? There was like this bread recipe that you took a little, then you passed it on to the next person, then they added to it, and it was like this community bread thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like we don't live in that culture anymore. Mm-hmm. Is it people afraid to ask? Or do they see on social media that everybody else is successful and we just feel maybe less than? What is that barrier?
No, I do think... you just don't know where to start. Like you said, the lack of education, like how do I start? Where do I go? And yes, they are scared to ask because you might get told no. The point is someone is eventually going to say yes. And I'm guaranteeing you it's going to be a community leader in your neighborhood that's their core value. And so if you're trying to do something like that, it actually helps them because they're fulfilling something internally. You know what I mean? And so there's plenty of people that will help. They can always, like, even if they're not my customer, call me and I'll call a location for them. I've done it many times. Like, okay, you know, because this is what I do. I'll call the church for you or I'll call, you know, the organization and help arrange that. But they're scared. You know, when you want to start a business, like, you got to learn what you don't know. And what you think you know ends up being maybe what you didn't think, you know, and you have to go through that. But that's where the perseverance comes through. And I do think social media does have a hard effect on all of us mentally. Like, I don't know when I'm scrolling through any of them, like, I'm like, man, everyone's super rich. Like, where is this money coming from? Because everyone I know personally is not. And so, you know, this extravagant lifestyle and stuff like that, that's not realistic. You know, it's not. And most of those people are just staging it and stuff like that. So try not to be intimidated by that. I would suggest also finding someone in your industry. So I very much think we need a food truck ride-along program. So before you go buy a food truck and spend all that money, to contact a food truck, call a couple. And there are some, because I've talked to them, that will let you ride along for the day. Experience what they have to experience before you start dropping capital and you start a food truck. Find someone in your industry and say, hey, you know, do you mind if I, you know, spend a day with you? Or just ask them for a meeting and ask them all the raw things. Say, I don't want to know the good stuff. I want to know the bad stuff that you came across. And that's going to help you navigate what terrain you're getting ready to enter into. So once again, we need to talk to each other.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's ever bad to have good communication.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing with us. And that's so awesome that you're working with Aloha Grill. They make amazing food.
Oh, I can't.
And they're just good people.
Mm-hmm.
So, for you guys, thanks for watching another episode of No Stupid Questions, where I get to ask all the stupid questions. If you learned anything, if you picked up a nugget of information, or you think that this episode can help somebody else, hit the share button and share this with your friends, your network, and like we say at the end of the show, even your enemies, give them a chance. So, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Well, that's it, folks. That's another episode of No Stupid Questions in the books. If you would like to be a guest on Startup Ecosystem, No Stupid Questions, simply apply at www.joinincrowdpodcast.com/no-stupid-questions. One last stupid question. Who do you know that could benefit from this episode? Hit the share button and share this episode with a friend. Or an enemy.